Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians. We began our series, Faith Under Fire, last week with Pastor Steve, and we're going to continue today in chapter 1. And if you would, I want us to, I know it's pretty much adults here today, and but I want us to use our imagination for a minute. I want to take you kind of through a little story. So imagine, if you would, that you're sitting in the Best Western Plus in Salmia. That's how creative I can be. And imagine that you're sitting here on a Friday morning, and then I'm standing in front of you about to preach a message from Galatians. Is everybody with me so far in their imaginations? Is that hard? Are you reaching? Okay. Now, but seriously, though, but imagine I start to introduce a special guest, and imagine that I begin to explain that this person is very well known. Everybody in here will know who this person is. This person's done things that have impacted the world, that have made the news, have made the headlines, and in fact, many people think this person's dead, but this person's actually alive, and they're here with us today. So, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Osama bin Laden? Now, I saw your face for that split second before you could process what I said was still imagining. But I want you to stay in there just for a second. I want you to imagine how you would feel if that really happened. Imagine that that man who did so much havoc on this earth, how would that make you feel if he walked through that door to speak to us today? What are the feelings that you would have? Most of you would probably be exiting the room, right? Because you would be afraid. And the reason I share this story, the reason I wanted you to capture this, is this is very much the same way that Paul, the apostle in the Bible, was viewed amongst the church. This is a man who was persecuting Christians. This is a man who was hunting them down. This is the man who stood there and watched Christians be stoned to death. And suddenly, he's saying that he is now counted amongst the ranks of the believers. So we can understand, I think, a bit, maybe the hesitation, correct, that people might have to this man who claims to have seen Jesus. So we pick up in Galatians 1, chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. Follow along if you would. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Father, that is alive and active. Father God, we thank you just that would just take root in our heart today, that it would speak to us, and that we would leave this place changed, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we begin in verse 11, and what we have is really what we would call the revelation, that Paul has this revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Now, notice in verse 11, it begins with the word for in the ESV, and whenever you see for, it's obviously hinged off of something. He's made a point previously, and so it's always a good idea to back up. So let's look at the verse prior, which was verse 10. And verse 10 begins, for am I? Well, guess what? We need to back it up one more time, right? Because he's making a point here. So let's go back up to verse 6, and I'm just going to kind of push through this a bit just to get us up to speed as we go forward. In verse 6, and Pastor Steve hit this last week, but it says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach, did you hear that? Even if we, men, or some angelic being preaches a gospel that's contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. I don't know that I need to do a lot of teaching here because I think he's pretty repetitive and his point is very clear. His point is that if anybody preaches anything contrary to the gospel that was originally brought forth, it is wrong. And what was happening is that Paul was being accused of preaching a cheap form of the gospel. What do I mean? I mean justification by faith through grace. That there was no longer anything that you could do in your own power to be found acceptable before an almighty God. There was no more offerings or sacrifices. Jesus had paid that price. And as you can imagine, the Jews that had gone to all the feasts and did all the sacrifices and had all these things they had to follow, suddenly that was all negated. And so Paul was being accused of preaching something that was not true. Okay, something that was different. And Paul took a lot of heat for this because he said that he received the gospel directly from the source. He had not talked to the other apostles, but God showed up in a very powerful way and revealed Jesus Christ. And so because of that, verse 10, now we understand the for, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Okay, so the for is hinging off that, meaning I wouldn't do all this if I was trying to please men. If I was trying to make people happy, I wouldn't have done this. And that's what that for is coming from, all right? Because he's not seeking the approval of man. By his actions, he has really come against and taken a lot of heat, and he knows what's coming towards him. All right, so now that verse then brings us to now where we are in verse 11, and that's where he begins, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. Paul, he had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. When he was on the road to Damascus, a bright light shone and God spoke from heaven to him. A conversion took place. All right, and it was either revealed to him by Jesus or that the content itself was about Jesus, All right, the way it's worded here is it can be taken either way, but it doesn't matter which way you land. Either way is okay. So, but the point is that it was through a revelation, all right, either of who Jesus was or it was through revelation from Jesus. Now, revelation in the sense only comes from God alone. Revelation of who God is and who Jesus is only comes from God alone, all right? If you recall in the Bible, Peter, he had been with Jesus for a lot of long time. Remember, everyone know Peter? Most people know Peter, right? The fisherman followed Jesus, all right? Was with Jesus day in and day out. And in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17, it says this, "Now when Jesus came into the district, all right, of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Listen, who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" Okay, he's asking the guys that have walked with him, that have been living with him, that have been, I mean, sharing life with him, seeing miracles and everything else. And they said, so the apostles respond, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" He presents this question. And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Son," or "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, do you understand what that's saying? I mean, we can read through things in the Bible and miss it, that these men were with Jesus. They knew Jesus. But yet out of all of them at that point, Peter was the only one who responded to the question that Jesus was the Christ and the Son of the living God. You see, only God can truly reveal himself to someone. Only God can truly reveal himself to somebody. It doesn't matter how eloquent your words are. It doesn't matter how many verses from the Bible you can quote, though that's a good thing. You see, church, I don't want us to pull back or draw back from spending time in the Word, and we need to do that. We need to memorize Scripture, and we need to be ready to give an account for our faith. But let me say something. The responsibility of someone's salvation is not on you. Do you know what that is? I'm gonna scare you a little bit. That's called pride. "But wait, Pastor Del, no, I want to be there. I want to be a part of it." No. It's no, because you want some credit. Somehow, by your great works or your great words or what you've done, and then you can bring that person to church, and yeah, this is the person that I shared the gospel with, and he got saved and came to Jesus because I talked to him and I was so good. I mean, let's get down to it, right? Is there anyone in here that doesn't struggle with pride? Okay, all right. Listen. Only God can truly reveal himself to someone. Only God can soften a hardened heart. And only God can bring the light of divine truth to a darkened heart. It is only God that can do this. You know, often, I like in my mind and my analogies and things like that I, you know, enjoy. And I've shared a little bit of it before, but it's really when you become a Christian, it's like getting on a boat. It's a nice boat. And really, the boat is headed to a destination. Once you're saved, once you've accepted Christ, you will, according to the Word of God, you will arrive at your destination. You're on the boat. We can do different things on the boat, can't we? Play some shuffleboard. There's people that are actually working on the boat. There's some that are sleeping. That's a whole nother sermon. But everybody's on the boat once you accept Christ. Now, if you see somebody sinking in the water, our job is to throw them the life ring, correct? Can we make them grab hold of the ring? All right? When you talk to somebody, you share the joy of your salvation. You share your testimony. And by your life, I hope that they see that there's a light in you or there's something different than you that's not like the rest of the world. And that is attractive. It should be. If you're not living an attractive life, I know Pastor Steve preached a few weeks ago how to be attractive and talking about this. Would people say that you are, did you have a life that's attractive? Or do you walk around and you're always angry and you're always upset and the world's crashing in and it just it's all just horrible? Are we being a witness to those around us? And even though the inclusion of the Gentiles wasn't it wasn't only from Paul, because Peter, if you remember, went to Cornelius' home and things. So this idea of the inclusion of the Gentiles in Scripture, but he was the one that really carried the message of justification by faith. All throughout Paul's writings, you see this message that we are justified by faith through Christ. And so because of that, he took tremendous heat. He was persecuted, as you read. I mean, he spent most of his time in prison or being beaten or you name it. He was shipwrecked, right? All this stuff. I mean, anything bad, you could check every single box in Paul's life. Not to get off on a rabbit trail, but really, I mean, he said yes to Jesus. And yet, as soon as he said yes, his life probably went from bad to worse really quick. And that's something for us to really think about. You know, I think we have this, sometimes this notion that when we're following Christ or, you know, we're being obedient and we're doing things right or living right, that somehow everything just, it's just skipping, you know, through the meadow and the birds are chirping. And how many can attest that's not always the case? Right? Four of us? All right. So Paul was being persecuted because of the revelation of Christ that he had. And that's just the first two verses, really. I mean, those first two verses, verse 11 and verse 12, you know, and again, he said, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel," and you follow the fours, right? Next one, verse 12, "For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." And this brings us to our next section where Paul begins to reflect and go back on what he used to be. In verse 13, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church." And this is where Paul kind of just does a review of his past. He begins in verse 13 with his cruelty towards Christians, and we've already touched on this a little bit. He persecuted Christians. Do you understand what that means? I think I've touched on all of it, but I mean, he literally, he had the papers, if you will, and the right to hunt down and to chase down anybody professing this Jesus to be God. And it was okay. And he did a very good job at it. And his commitment, he was a very religious Jew, and he followed all the laws and customs. If you wanted a model Jew, this guy's resume was like no other. This guy was living and doing every single thing he was supposed to. He was progressing quickly past his peers, all right? He was a Jew in every sense. But Paul is making his point, listen, to show that there was nothing in his religious background that could have in any way prepared him for a positive response to the gospel. There was nothing. He's trying to say, I was going completely against the gospel, against who Jesus was. And yet here he is now standing up saying that he received the gospel through revelation. And though Paul, one thing I want us to see here is that though Paul often spoke of his sinful past, he always did so in a remorseful manner. And he would spend more time and effort speaking about the rescue from it rather than the acts themselves. Listen, I've sat in some conversations and I've heard people's, you know, some of their stuff, and one thing that I've come across is there are some people, and maybe you've experienced this sometimes when maybe you've done it, but just, again, keep looking at me and no one will know it's you. but where you begin to reflect on some of the things that you used to do, like your college days. Some of you are maybe in college, but the thing is, you know, you see it. You see that some people will go through and they share that for the purpose of acknowledging the gospel and what they were rescued from. But then there's some people that kind of get stuck and almost like lay it all out there as like, this is what I used to do, right? Oh, you did this? Anybody know what a one-upper is? Like somebody that always has to have a better story, you know? You drank a whole case. Well, I drank 10 cases of beer. You know, it's that whole thing. And there's people that do that, and even Christians. And listen, church, again, that whole pride thing, remember? That's what it really stems back to. When you share your testimony, make sure you get to the end very quickly, the good part. All right? And you don't need to explain all the details about your craziness. You can just touch on it. But get to the good part where Jesus saved you. And this is what we see Paul. He does so. This guy killed people. The people now that he's ministering to, he killed and is counted as one of them. So he has he's got you beat, I think, in that sense. And Paul, we see he carried great sorrow and shame for his past to the point of calling himself, in 1 Corinthians 15:9, I think magically, boom. 1 Corinthians, the least of the apostles, because he had persecuted the church of God. Notice there's no S in the word churches, and that means that it was the church as a whole. He was persecuting the church in general, and he had great sorrow and shame. Again, let me come back. Whenever I come back from behind the podium there, I got something to say. When we're saved, I don't want to take away from, yes, we are free from our past. Our sin no longer has control and authority. We have Christ in us. Okay, I don't want to take anything away from that. But listen, do not forget what you were rescued from, is what I'm trying to say. I remember, again, I've been all over in churches in my past. And, you know, if I were to ever say I'm just a sinner saved by grace, I would have been shouted down. Well, you're not a sinner. You're a king's kid. You're a royal priesthood. It's true. It is true. But I don't want to forget where I came from. I don't want to forget. I don't dwell back there. I know that I'm set free, but I don't want to forget what I was saved from. Does that make sense? I see some nods. I know this is not a charismatic church, but I hope I'm getting through what I'm saying. Don't forget what you come from, because really that's your testimony, and that's something to celebrate what God brought you out of. Okay? We see Paul has tremendous zeal for his religion, all right? He studied under a famous Jewish theologian guy called Gamaliel, and he surpassed his peers. We see, if you ever study Paul, go down through his resume sometime, and it's incredible what he did and what he was. And one thing, too, to remember, I've hit on this before, but when you read Scripture, you've got to take time to understand the scene, all right? In Bible school, they talk about crossing the bridge. Okay, so you go back to their time, their town, they call it, and you have to understand what the context of what's being said there, and then how do you bring it to now, and how do you apply it? And we have to be very careful to make sure we spend time and go back to understand the context. And so one thing we need to understand here is there were no Christians at this time. What do I mean by that? It was not an organized religion. There was no Christianity. There were Christ followers who eventually were given the term Christians, but at this time there were no Christians. Instead, the followers of Christ were seen more as a cancer within Judaism. Most of them were Jews. A lot of them were Jews. There were Gentiles too. But think about it. So if you had these Jews, and now suddenly you have these Jews that are worshiping this man. Do you understand? And again, now this is, remember, Old Testament style, you know, where stoning and just bad things happening if you go against what the Torah and everything else said that was outlined there. So these are Jews that have chosen to have had the revelation of who Christ was and chosen to follow Christ. So many people persecuted them because they were just these wacky Jews bringing in a false doctrine. Okay, so keep that in your mind as we go forward. So it wasn't just that people were following this man, Jesus, but that they had given him the status of deity and were worshiping him in ways only previously been allowable to God. Are you catching it? You see, we don't fully understand. Some places of the world we get a glimpse, or some people do, but to profess Christ as Lord and Savior in this time, your days were pretty much numbered. See, it was upsetting what the early church was proclaiming because it met that everyone, including those who were found righteous by the Torah, needed to believe in this person named Jesus for salvation. No longer could they do works. No longer could they check all the boxes along the way and be found acceptable. Now they had to put their faith in this man from Galilee named Jesus. And this is pretty much what we see in Acts 7, that Stephen had basically was sharing this message, and that's what ultimately got him stoned. The rock kind, okay? They stoned him. Why? Because he was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, maybe a better story that you might have heard of is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because they were angry at him because he said that he was God. Contrary to some liberal lines of theology, you know, he acknowledged the fact that he was and is God. Paul goes on to speak then, he now transitions to from his pre-conversion days to now his post-conversion. First, his choosing by God, he was chosen before he was born, and the Son was revealed to him, verses 15 and 16. Verse 17, then we see him traveling to Arabia and to Damascus, and there he went, and he went the opposite direction of Jerusalem. He didn't go see the apostles. He went and spent time, and that's where God really enlightened him on this message of the gospel. And then he goes from Damascus to Jerusalem. And then 3 years after his conversion, he went to Jerusalem and met with Peter and James, the Lord's brother, for 15 days. Imagine being the guy that has to set up that meeting, right? Hey, you know that guy that was killing all the Christians? Yeah. Well, he wants to meet with us for coffee, some tea, and dates. Are you okay with that? You know, I mean, these guys, Paul's reputation, Saul back then, you know, went far beyond him, before him, and people knew who this guy was. There was no question, and now this guy's wanting to meet with them to chit-chat about the gospel. And finally, the chapter closes out with his travels through from Jerusalem to Syria and to Cilicia. Now, I want us to, as we wrap up things, I just want to bring some application, because this is great, and we read about this, what can we take from this as we leave today? And the first point I want to make is that the gospel is not restricted to one nation or people. Instead, it is free to all who will accept it by faith. All right? If this guy that was persecuting Christians can receive it, great. But he was a Jew. Well, we see all throughout the Bible, and Paul was one of the main ones that took the gospel to the Gentiles. Anybody that was willing to receive this good news would be saved. Another one is that we must be more concerned with the approval of God than that of man. Okay, than that of man. There's a fine line between being approved by others and having such approval as our motivation. Listen, there's nothing wrong, and it's actually biblical, if you have a big decision or you're going through something and you need to make a decision about something, you can go get godly counsel. Talk to somebody who's solid. Talk to somebody, a pastor or someone in your life that's a mature Christian to bounce something off of, you know, a decision. There's nothing wrong with that. What it's saying is that don't do something for the motivation of just pleasing someone else. Just so you get an acceptance from that person, because that's ultimately, even though it's not what you feel is right. And this is where you have to follow what God has put on your heart, what Scripture says, okay? And it's becoming more and more it's becoming challenging to do that, to stand for what Scripture says. Culture, society is moving like a tidal wave away from this. If you haven't noticed it, you don't have to look around much. And if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself doing things or saying things just to be found accepted by those around you. And how many times do we do that? How many times do we, maybe even unknowingly initially, we do something just because we want to be accepted by someone that, I don't want to say doesn't matter, but they're really, you just met them or they're a coworker and like, why are you doing this? I found myself in life doing this at times. Like, I make a decision, it was just to make that person happy, and it's just, why? This person, I might not even know them, or they're a coworker, they're not even a close friend, and at the end of the day, they probably don't even care about me if something, you know, I needed them one day. But yet, we're always found doing things for others, and we can't do that. We have to stay what's written in the Word. Martin Luther, I'm just going to read through this, that he was the leading voice of the Reformation, and he announced his discoveries and what he had found in the Scripture, and was called before the Roman Catholic authorities to see if he would willingly recant his ideas and so save his relationship to the Catholic Church and the unity of the Roman Catholic world. And so, and here's some of his words that he said when he was before the Roman Catholic Church. He said, "Your Imperial Majesty and your Lordships demand a simple answer. Here it is, plain and unvarnished. Unless I am convicted of error by the testimony of Scripture, or since I put no trust in the supported authority of Pope or of councils, since it is plain that they have often erred and often contradicted themselves, by manifest reasoning I stand convicted by the Scriptures to which I have appealed, and my conscience is taken captive by God's word. I cannot and will not recant anything, for to act against our conscience is neither safe for us nor open to us. On this I take my stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." And Luther is one who willingly denounced human authority, peer pressure, and social stress, and followed his conscience to as God led him, and the results really have been a gift from God to all of us. See, anytime we follow man, anytime we submit to man, we are supposed to submit to people, okay? There are authorities and things like that in our life. But anytime it deviates from what's in Scripture and what God has put in our heart, we have to stop and we have to stand, regardless of what the consequences are. And maybe you've done that, maybe you've not had to do that. If you've had to, you know that sometimes it doesn't always work out initially, all right? It doesn't always work out, but you can know that God is faithful, and God will honor that decision. When you choose to make a stand, he will honor that. Another point, we need to always be examining the way we are living out the gospel to ensure that we are consistent with Scripture, all right? The apostles, including Paul, didn't have to draw a conclusion to what they were saying, because they lived a lifestyle that was evident that something had happened, that they had received salvation. And like I said, back in that time, they were never really given the luxury to live a different way. You know, when we say yes to Christ, there should be a change in our life. There should be a visible change in us. If there's not, you know, many people that profess to be Christians, and you see them in one way in church, and then you see them out in their workplace, that completely, you wouldn't know that they were Christian you know, if they were wearing a cross and sandals, right? Lastly, we have seen and will continue to see that Paul, he asserts a level of independence, but we must remember that it was especially for this letter to Galatia because accusations against him of not receiving his gospel from the apostles in Jerusalem. We get this feel like Paul is like making this stand by himself, but ultimately he did go to Jerusalem and he did meet the apostles and their gospels were the same as what they found. And so again, I want you to make sure not to take away from, we need community. You need people in your life that challenge you, if you will. All right. And in closing, I just want to say that if you're here today and you have been praying for someone to come to know Christ, if you've been maybe kind of almost hopeless that this person is out of reach, maybe it's a child or someone in your life that you care about and, you know, that they're out there wandering, let this story of Paul, this person that was the furthest away from Christ as you could imagine, that he was persecuting Christians. And yet what happened when God showed up on the scene? What happened when God revealed who Christ was to him? And look at what he did as a result. It's never too late for somebody's life to be turned around. And God, you know, Paul at the end, he says something. It can come across kind of boastful, but you know, he says that it's because of me that God got the glory. And what he's saying is that because somebody was so vile and so ugly and persecuting Christians, because there was such a transformation, that God was able to receive all the glory because only God could do something like that. And so everything we do in this life, let it be for the glory of God. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today again, Lord. We thank you for this time. God, I pray that, Lord, we've been challenged and we've just been spoken to by your Spirit, Lord, through your word. God, I hope some here, just as this the point we covered of, we can't save someone in our own strength. But all we can do is again, to share our testimony, to share the gospel with people and to love people. And to pray for them and look for that time and that when you're able to break through that hardened heart that they have, it is only through your Spirit that the revelation of who Jesus Christ is can happen. For those of us here today, Lord, that count ourselves as Christians, we, God, thank you that you broke through the fog and that you revealed to us who Jesus was and is. Thank you for the message of the cross and that Jesus loved us so much that he came and died for our sins and was risen on the third day. We thank you for that, Lord. And so, God, I just pray for each one here. I pray that this week, Lord, that they are able to be a light in their workplaces and as they go around Kuwait. God, let us not miss opportunities to show the love of Christ to someone because we just don't know where they're at. God, we thank you for this message. That if you could take somebody so vile and change their heart, it just shows what you're capable of and that you can reach anybody. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for each one here. I ask you just to keep them safe this week, Lord. Let your hand of protection be upon them. And God, we just look forward to gathering again together in your name next week. In Jesus' name, amen.